Thank you, Stephen. Good morning. And Merry Christmas. It's a blessing to be here on this Christmas Day, 2011. We hear much about the battle between Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays. And I'm thankful that you said Merry Christmas back to me, because we are thankful for Christmas. I was interested in the origin of that little phrase, a Merry Christmas. That was the verse that was shown, a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year to you, was the little verse, little phrase that was shown on the first commercially available Christmas card back in 1843, same year that Henry Wadsworth Longfellow wrote the song, I believe. Maybe that's not right, because that would have been earlier. But anyway, forget that part. But it was 1843 when the verse was there. But actually, the use of Merry Christmas as a seasonal salutation dates back to at least 1565, when in the Hereford Municipal Manuscript, written in the Old English, it said, "And thus I commit you to God, who sends you a Merry Christmas and many." Merry Christmas. I'd like to think us to think for a few moments this morning about a homophone. Anybody know, not a telephone, but a homophone. Now, you probably know what a homonym is. Technically, a homonym are two words that are spelled the same and sound the same, but they have two different meanings. Loosely, a homophone would be a homonym, but not technically. A homophone are two words that are spelled differently. They have different meanings, but they sound alike, like Mary and Mary. So Merry Christmas, we send those good tidings one to another, that we might have a joyful, a prosperous, happy Christmas time. But then there's that homophone for Mary, the mother of the Lord Jesus, Mary, M-A-R-Y. I'd like to think about a Mary, M-A-R-Y, Christmas this morning. I was thinking about Mary, and I thought about her on that first Christmas as we would see it there in Bethlehem. And I thought about this time of day, 11:25, that first Christmas morning, and I was thinking about, I wonder what she was doing. The best we can tell from the Scripture, the Lord Jesus was born at night. That's when the angel appeared, and then the angels appeared to the shepherds who were keeping watch over their flock by night. So I wonder what she was doing that next morning. I want to ask you to turn, if you have your Bible, to Luke chapter 2. We're going to be looking at Luke chapters 1 and 2 this morning. If you don't have a Bible, there's probably one in the songbook rack there on your row. I encourage you to take that out and look at Luke chapter 2. We're going to be reading a good portion this morning at different times. A good portion of what we would call the Christmas story is found in the book of Luke. But I just want to begin with just one phrase in Luke chapter 2, and if you will go down in that chapter to the 19th verse, and just look at the first half of that verse. And I'd suggest this is what Mary, among other things, with a newborn baby, was doing that first morning about this time. "But Mary kept all these things." Mary kept all these things. In the Greek, that could be translated, Mary was keeping. The thought is of an ongoing action. Mary was keeping all these things in her heart. It was interesting that in the original Greek, the word things there is the Greek word rhema, which most often in our New Testament would be translated word or saying. So literally, Mary was keeping all of these sayings, all of these words, she was keeping them in her heart. So here she is, there by that manger, and there her newborn son is. And surely she's taking care of him, doing the things that a mother of a newborn would do. But as she does that, she's keeping these things, these sayings, these words. Maybe the things the shepherds had just said to her. They recently had been there, as we read in our text, and we'll read as we go through our passages this morning. Likely she was keeping those sayings in her heart. But very likely also her mind was reflecting back over the past 9 months. And the things that she had heard, the things that had been said to her. Now, we don't know, obviously, all or even most of what was said to her during those 9 months. But there are certain things that God has chosen to record in His Word, things that were said to Mary during that period of time, those 9 months, all the way up until that very night when her son, the Lord Jesus, was born. I'd like for us to think a little bit this morning about the things she was keeping in her heart. The words that had been said to her. The word keep there, or kept, that word from the Greek means preserved or guarded. Again, a continuous action in the Greek. And here she was keeping these sayings, guarding these sayings, protecting them from leaving her mind and her heart, keeping them from being pushed aside or washed away with all of the other things that were coming in, all of the responsibilities of motherhood. She didn't want these things that had been said to her to be moved away out of her mind. She didn't want them to be diluted. She didn't want to forget the things she had heard. She didn't want to lose the reality of those communications she had received. And so this morning, I want to challenge us to have a Mary Christmas, an M-A-R-Y Christmas. A Christmas like Mary had. A Christmas where we're guarding what we have heard and will hear concerning that first Christmas. Protecting the thoughts and the truths and the concepts and the burdens that have been communicated to us through that Christmas story. To not let them slip away out of our minds. Not allow them to be deluded by all of the other things, even good things that come into our minds. That these things, these words, these sayings won't be pushed aside because other things are pushing their way in. So what I'd like for us to do is to look at the things that Mary likely was treasuring, was guarding in her heart, was keeping in her heart. And let's see how she responded. And then apply her example to our lives so that we can guard these things. And that we can ourselves have a Merry Christmas. Let's think about that first Christmas and how Mary responded. Firstly, back in chapter 1 of Luke, and we'll read verses 26 to 34. As I said, as we work our way through chapters 1 and 2, we're going to read a lot of these verses together. So Luke chapter 1 and verse 26. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" That first Christmas morning, surely, as Mary hailed her little son, and she kept these sayings in her heart, surely her mind went back to that day when Gabriel, the angel, had come and had appeared to her there in Nazareth, sent from God. He came and he spoke to her. And she thought back about those words and she kept them in her heart. And we reflect on her response. I would suggest that one way she responded to those sayings of Gabriel was that she wondered. She wondered. In verse 29, we find that when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. She was puzzled. She couldn't figure it out. Why he was coming to her, what he meant in the way that he spoke to her. What kind of greeting is this? And down in the last verse we read, verse 34, she asked, "How can this be? Seeing I do not know a man. I'm a virgin. How can what you have said is going to happen, that I'm going to be with child? How is that going to happen?" She wondered at that. She wondered in verse 29 at what that greeting meant. There she wasn't wondering necessarily if this would happen. No, she believed God, but she was wondering at how this would happen. It had never happened before in the history of humanity. She wondered. She wondered as he addressed her as highly favored. "The Lord is with you. Blessed are you." And she wondered at that. You know, as we look into the Scriptures, we find that God has also addressed us in ways that should make us wonder. He addressed her as highly favored by the Lord. I would suggest he's addressed you in the same way. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 6, we read there that he has predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he has made us accepted in the beloved. We are highly favored by God. The same there in the Greek. We've been accepted in the beloved. She was told, "The Lord is with you." Well, we've been addressed in somewhat the same way. Matthew 28:20, the Lord Jesus said, "I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. I will never leave you," the Lord Jesus said. She was addressed by Gabriel as blessed. And truly, we are blessed by the Lord. Ephesians 1:3. We can bless the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. And may I suggest this morning that we should respond with wonder. How sad it is in my own heart and my own mind when I look and see how easy it is to lose the wonder of what Christmas is about. That we hear it so many times, in so many ways, and from so many people, that after a while it's just another story that we've heard many times. And we lose the wonder. The wonder that because of that first Christmas, and the one who was born, and what he would do in his life, in his death, in his burial and resurrection, that we could be addressed by God as highly favored recipients of his grace. That God could address us as the angel Gabriel did on his behalf in addressing Mary. That we could be addressed as ones who are accompanied by the Lord. That the Lord is with us. Losing the wonder and the amazement that we are blessed by God. How easy it is to take that for granted. That we've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Not only the material blessings, and not only the blessings of friends and family, but the spiritual blessings that have been bestowed upon us through the Lord Jesus, those of us who know the Lord Jesus, is Savior. Have we lost the wonder of Christmas? Mary responded to that first Christmas and what she had heard. She responded by wondering. May I encourage you, may I challenge you as I have myself, that we not lose the wonder. The wonder that these truths that came to Mary are truths that came to me. The wonder that the Eternal One, who created all things, the One without beginning, stooped to have a beginning in the womb of a virgin. That the One who feels all things would confine Himself to a virgin's womb. That He would confine Himself to an animal's feeding trough. That He would confine Himself to a mother's arms. The wonder that the One who is sovereign over all would place Himself willingly under the authority of earthly parents and teachers. That the One who sustains all creation would become dependent on His creation for oxygen, for nourishment, for sustenance. Martin Luther said, "The mystery of the humanity of Christ, that He sunk Himself into our flesh, is beyond all human understanding." Mary wondered. This had never happened before. But may we wonder, because it's never happened since. The only time that one supernaturally has been born of a virgin, and it's the Lord Jesus. The wonder that He would do this. The wonder that He would do all this for me. The wonder at how God has worked through the miraculous, coming into our world, being made like us, but apart from sin. Does that make us wonder? Do our eyes get wide with wonder like a little child on Christmas morning? Do we lose our wonder at what the Lord Jesus has done? Mary wondered. She was puzzled. It was beyond her comprehension. And she responded on that first Christmas morning to the things that she had heard with wonder. And I'm sure as she sat there 9 months later, at least, holding that little baby, that she still wondered when she looked back and thought about what Gabriel had said to her that day. But in that same conversation, we pick up in verse 35, and we see as she would think on other things that he had said, how she would respond. Verse 35 of Luke 1, "And the angel answered and said to her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren, for with God nothing will be impossible.' Then Mary said, 'Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word.' And the angel departed from her." We find again Mary, as we think of her on that first Christmas morning, about this time of day, maybe nursing that little baby. Maybe taking care of him and checking those swaddling clothes in which he was bound. And she thinks back to that conversation, and she remembers these other things that Gabriel had said to her as he continued. And he gave her insight into the work of God, that she was going to be used by God, that the Holy Spirit was going to come upon her, and the power of the Highest was going to overshadow her, and the One who would be born of her would be the Son of God. She was going to be used by God, and she thought back, I'm sure, to that conversation, and she kept those words. She guarded them in her heart. She didn't want anything to dilute those words that she heard that day from Gabriel. And not only that she would be used by God, but that assurance from the angel that nothing is impossible with God. What a truth that surely came to her mind often during those 9 months, and surely during the rest of her life, that nothing is impossible with God. It's very obvious what Mary's response was there in verse 38. And we'll say it in this way. Mary was willing. Not only was she wondering, but she was willing. Verse 38 tells us her response in verbatim. Behold the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. Now there's a willingness of heart. There's a submissive spirit. Behold the maidservant. I am a bondservant of the Lord. I will do whatever He tells me to do, whatever He chooses for me to do. Here I am. I offer my body, as it were, as a living sacrifice to God. Before Romans 12 was ever written, she was doing that. Take my body, do with me what you choose. If you desire for this body to carry the very Son of God, I will do it. I will submit. Whatever you choose, Lord. Whatever you choose, Master. Now we might think of that in a very romantic way. But oh, what a blessing to be chosen by God to do this work. And truly she thought that. Truly that came into her mind without a doubt. But surely other things came into her mind, including being misunderstood by Joseph, the husband to whom she was betrothed, by her parents, by the community, by her extended family. Surely they would misunderstand the fact that she was with child. She would likely be shamed. Maybe not only for those 9 months in the minds of some, but throughout her life. As the one who was pregnant before she was married. Surely she had to think about the sorrow that would likely come with that shame and that being misunderstood. The sorrow, the heartache at people who would not believe her. And we see in the Lord Jesus, in His life, the religious leaders still casting that back at Him, that He was not, didn't have a father. At least not one who would claim to have truly been His father. They didn't believe in the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus. Well, the burden she would carry of not feeling like she really belonged anymore. A pilgrim, as it were, going throughout this life. But even with all of those things, surely coming into her mind and heart, certainly she had to reflect on that as well as the wonder of being chosen for this role. But even with all of that, she would say, behold, the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. Of course, we would see this same attitude perfected in her son for 33 years. Culminating there in his words in the Garden of Gethsemane, Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. The servant of Jehovah, the servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. She heard those things and she guarded them in her heart. And she responded by being willing. The Christmas message has come to us. The good tidings of great joy that will be to all people have come to us. We have heard. And we have our own insight into the work of God through the Word of God. Just as she had that insight through Gabriel's information gleaned from God Himself, the messenger sent, so we have had the messengers of Luke. And Matthew and Mark and John and the writers of Scripture have come and communicated to us the truths of Scripture. We have our own insights into God's work. And wonder of wonders, not only did God choose to use Mary, a humble girl there in Nazareth, but He's chosen to use you. He's chosen to use you. He's chosen to use me. How thankful we are that nothing is impossible with God. That those who realize that I'm a sinner, I'm separated from God, I deserve to be punished because I have broken God's law, I have broken God's heart, I have gone my own way like a sheep wandering away from the shepherd. That's what I've done. I'm a sinner. I'm guilty. But how thankful I am that the Scriptures tell me that that one who was born that day in the city of David is truly not only a Savior, He is the Savior. He's the only Savior. And He's the Savior for me, not just because He was born, not just because He lived, because He died there at Calvary. And the Lord laid on Him the iniquity of us all. He laid my sin on the Lord Jesus, and He raised Him from the dead. And I believe that, and I believe Him, and I trust Him as my Savior. And the Lord Jesus said, if you will come to me by faith, I will not turn you away. And I will give you a new life. And I have already prepared good works for you to do. Not just for all of you to do, but for you individually to do. And God chooses to use you. He chooses to use you. And nothing's impossible with Him. We look at our own lives, and maybe Mary looked at her life and herself and thought, how can I do this? How can I do this? But nothing's impossible with God. God is able to do what He chooses, what is according to His will, and He will do it. And our response should be like Mary. We should be willing to be used however God wills. We should be willing to do whatever He chooses, whatever the Christmas message, whatever impact that has in your life and my life, we should be willing to do that. And we must be honest. Christmas is a feel-good story. But the reality of the Christmas message to the true Christian, to the true believer, is not just a feel-good message. It's the reality of putting this into practice in our lives, and our lives being changed, and us living a life that is often going to cause us to be misunderstood in a culture which more and more rejects the virgin birth, rejects the sinless life of the Lord Jesus, rejects the fact that He is the Son of God, rejects the crucifixion, the substitutionary death and resurrection of our Savior. We will be misunderstood. We will experience sorrow like He experienced sorrow. We will be put to shame by some who reject us. We will find ourselves carrying a burden, though it's a great joy, that in these jars of clay, we carry around the gospel, that the glory of God. We carry that around, but often that can be a burden because that message is rejected. That message is spurned. To truly receive that Christmas message means to be a pilgrim. To be a stranger, to live in a world where we don't really belong because our citizenship is in heaven. Paul, when he was struck down on that road to Damascus, and he realized that it was Jesus who he was persecuting. And he said, Lord, what do you want me to do? He was saying, in essence, I am your hand. Made. I am your servant. I am your bond slave. Oh, to submit to Him, to present our bodies as living sacrifices, holy, acceptable to God, which is our reasonable service. To do as James says, to not be just hearers of the word, but doers of those sayings that we're treasuring in our hearts, that we're guarding, that we're protecting, to live those out, whatever that might mean, that we might respond on Christmas by being willing as Mary was willing. Let's continue on, and we see her responding again. Look at verse 39 and something else that she heard. Now Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to a city of Judah and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the babe leaped in her womb and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord." Surely that first Christmas morning, as Mary attended to her newborn son, surely as she kept these things in her heart, some of the words that she kept were words that her cousin Elizabeth had spoken to her many months before. Words directed by the Holy Spirit of God. Words in which Elizabeth spoke of the blessedness which was Mary's, of the honor which belonged to her. Surely Mary wondered at that too. And she was willing. And we see her response picking up in verse 46. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for He has regarded the lowly state of His maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed, for He who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is His name. And His mercy is on those who fear Him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with His arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. And He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things. And the rich He has sent away empty. He has helped His servant Israel in remembrance of His mercy, as He spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever." How did she respond? She responded by worshiping. She exalted God. She magnified the Lord. She rejoiced in God, her Savior, in His might, in His power, in His strength, and in His mercy. And in the merging of His might and His mercy, in mightily bringing down those who would exalt themselves and mercifully lifting up those who were low. The miracle of Christmas. We too have heard these things. We have heard these words communicated to us. We have learned of God through His Word. As we have been informed concerning Christmas and what it really means, as we have studied the Scriptures and continue to expose ourselves to the communication of God and His Word, and our minds are more and more opened and our hearts are more and more open to what God has done and what God is doing, as we see His might and we see His mercy in our own lives, as we see Him taking us, reaching down into the pit and bringing us up and setting us on a rock and putting a new song in our mouths, even praise to our God. As we see Him in His mercy coming to where we are and ministering to us and bringing the Scriptures to our ears and opening up the truths just when we need those things. Truly, we should respond by worshiping. Surely, we should magnify Him. We should rejoice in Him. We should speak of His might and speak of His mercy and speak of all of His infinite attributes. As our brother prayed this morning, what a privilege it was to gather this morning, many of us, and remember the Lord Jesus and there together worship Him. And might we worship Him daily, moment by moment. Might our hearts overflow. Have you ever bought a gift for someone and you were so excited you couldn't hardly wait to give it to them? And you were just bubbling up and you were more excited than they were until finally you could give them that gift. Might our love for the Lord Jesus, might our admiration for God, might our reverence for the one who put all of this into play, might it bubble up within us? Might we not be able to wait to express to Him our worship, our appreciation at who He is and what He has done? And finally, we'll look at one other thing, the thing that we started with in Luke chapter 2. Because Mary also heard from the shepherds. And look over at chapter 2 and beginning at the first verse. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. And all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were greatly afraid. And the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. When Mary thought about those words that the shepherds had told her, when they relayed to her what it was like to be out in the fields at night and to suddenly have the glory of the Lord shining around them and to hear the angel of the Lord speak to them concerning this baby and giving them the sign, how they would know it was Him, and what it was like to have all of those angels suddenly appear there in heaven and praise God and say those words that Joseph sang for us this morning: "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." What was Mary's response? The second part of verse 19 tells us that she pondered them in her heart. She responded by weighing. The word ponder really means to bring things together and compare them and weigh them in your mind. And she took those things and she weighed them out. She weighed out what they really meant and what they meant for her and what they meant for the world. And she didn't just respond with emotion, but she weighed it out and she thought about it. And she reflected on it. And she didn't want to forget it. And she didn't want to miss anything. And she kept it in her heart and she pondered it. She weighed them in her mind. Again, we have heard these things this morning and other times. And we have heard the Scriptures. Not only this story we've read this morning, Not only this historical narrative that we have considered, but we have read much more of the Word of God. I hope that we've read all of the Word of God. And we'll do so again. A new year's coming up. A new opportunity if you need a good start to begin reading through the Scriptures. To weigh these things that we are reading, that we are hearing, to weigh them in the scales of our minds and hearts, to meditate on them, to think on them, to continue to wonder not only at this, but all of Scripture, but all of the character of God, all of what God has done, what God is doing, what God is going to do, as revealed in the Scripture, that we will meditate on those things and say, what does this mean for me? How does this impact my life? How should I be different because of what God has communicated to me? Oh, that we might weigh these things out. I encourage you to have a Merry Christmas. To respond like Mary did to what she heard. Not to forget. Not to trivialize. Not to push aside. Not to let get pushed out of our minds the truths of the Word of God, but to respond by wondering in amazement at all of what God has shown us and is showing us, that we would respond by being willing, that we would submit ourselves anew to God and offer our bodies as living sacrifices to Him. That's our reasonable service. That we might respond by worshiping our great God, and that we might respond by weighing these things, that we might ponder them. I'm going to ask you to close your eyes, bow your head. I'll just give you a moment to reflect back over the things that Mary had heard during those 9 months and her responses, that you might have the opportunity to respond or to begin to respond. And we'll close in prayer. Our Father, we thank You for this Christmas morning. We thank You for the gift of Your Son, the Lord Jesus. We thank You that it's by grace that we are saved through faith. It's not of ourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Father, if there's anyone here this morning who has never, by faith, received Your Son as Savior, we pray that this morning they will be convicted of their sin, of their going astray, of turning to their own way, and they'll realize that You have laid on Your Son the iniquity of us all, and they will believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. Father, for those of us who know You, we've trusted Your Son as Savior. We've been made new creations. Our sins have been forgiven, not by works of righteousness that we have done, but according to Your mercy. Might we respond as Mary did. Father, might we not lose the wonder. Please bring back to our minds and hearts the wonder of You coming into this world, God with us. Help us to dig deeper, that we might continually wonder. Father, might we be willing, might we submit ourselves to You and all that the Christmas story should mean in our everyday lives all through the year. Might we be willing to bear our cross. The servant is not above his master. If our master was rejected, we can expect to be also. Father, might we be willing to accept that. Lord, might we worship You from hearts that are full, from hearts that are overflowing, because we have been thinking on You, on Your Son, the Lord Jesus, that we've allowed the Holy Spirit to fill our minds and hearts with thoughts of You from the Scriptures. And Father, we pray that we will weigh these things, that we will ponder them, that we will compare them. We will compare Scripture with Scripture. And Lord, our lives will be different because of our meditation upon Your Word and upon You and upon Your actions. Father, I commit everyone here to You this morning. I thank You for them. I thank You for letting us gather together on this Christmas day. And we commend ourselves to you in the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.